Our next speaker is a taller brother, and we want to accommodate all our brethren. We can't do anything about stretching them or shrinking them, but it gives us a great privilege and an honor to have with us our dear Albert, California Ecclesia. I'm sure that many of us have known, and Brother Schepelbaum has been a faithful stalwart of the truth, and we're very pleased and delighted not only to have him, but our dear sister Anastasia in our midst. And we look forward to the lesson that he has prepared for us, entitled, Take Heed. Dearly beloved, I'm sure we will do that as we sit back and listen to Brother Schepelbaum's discourse. Brother Albert. Will that be in your way?
No. Oh, we're happy to be with you. Sister Anastasia and I have been looking forward to meeting with the brethren here. I might mention that about 6 weeks ago, we went to an emergency for Sister Anastasia. And, of course, they always print out the name on the for the information for the doctor. And he noticed Anastasia on there, and he said, that means resurrection. I said, well, how did you find out? And he said, you know, I studied Greek for a few years. So that's the first time that it's ever happened to us that somebody outside of the brethren would know that that name means resurrection. We're happy to be with you. We're happy to see so many of the brethren out for the beginning of the convention. And has been announced. We want to consider a few thoughts along the line of take heed. I would say necessity. Oh, maybe I'm forgetting something. The brethren in our local group had voted that we bring the love to the convention, and there are we're not the only ones from our group. The Millens are here. Sister Martha Holmes is here, and so we're happy to have them with us also here. We want to open the lesson with the reading of Deuteronomy 4 and the 9th verse. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Now this, of course, was given to Israel particularly. And as we read through the Old Testament, we find that they didn't take heed. They drifted from the commandments that the Lord had given to them. And they suffered the consequences. In Deuteronomy 4:23, we read, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you. What was applicable to them is equally applicable to us. We've made a covenant with the Lord of laying down our all to serve him and to do his will. And we do not want to copy the example of Israel, forgetting the Lord's covenant and doing other things instead of serving him as they had vowed. In Deuteronomy 11:16, we read, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. So it is possible that the heart would be deceived. Deceived by the things around us. And the Israelites took up with the heathen gods that the people in their area were worshiping, and they followed them. They didn't take proper heed, and their hearts were deceived in accepting and doing what the heathen were doing when they had been told specifically not to do that. in Mark 24, 4th chapter, and the 24th verse particularly, Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower. And we notice that in this parable, there are four classes. It tells us that all four heard the word, but the effect was different in each of the four classes. Therefore, there's only one out of the four that heard and acted properly upon the information. And as a result, it was only one of the four groups that brought forth fruit acceptable to the Lord. In Mark chapter 4, and we want to read verses 22 and 24, and it reads, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was there anything kept secret, but that it shall come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed that ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you." And so the important questions that come to us is, what effect does the truth have upon you and I? Are we living up to it to the best of our ability, or are we compromising with the world, with things to provide for ourselves and so on? There are basic needs that each one of us has to provide for. But there is a tendency that we might try to provide more than we need because it's available to us. And we want to be careful that we're not carried away. Worldly things, worldly possessions, worldly pleasures, and so on. We must first and foremost remember the covenant that we have made with the Lord. It is of utmost interest and importance to us that we try to fulfill our covenant and not be led astray. In Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 18, we read, "Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." And I believe that the thought here is that once we receive the knowledge of the Lord's plan, we know what we had vowed to do in serving Him, that we be diligent in trying to fulfill that so that we do not try to compromise. In Matthew 18:10, we read another, "Take heed. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones." And the thought here in despise has the thought of think against or disesteem. That those that the Lord has called, He certainly hasn't made any mistake by calling them. Whether we outwardly can see qualities of character that particularly appeal to us or not. But if the Lord has called them, we want to be careful and not disesteem them, but rather, on the other hand, try to help and encourage them that they might be faithful in fulfilling their vows. In Matthew 18:6, we read, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, And we certainly don't want to be among those that would offend, or in any way make it more difficult for them to complete their sacrifice faithfully. In the 7th verse we read, For it must need be that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom the offenses come. Now the diaglot translates offenses as snares. So then it would read, For it must need be that snares will come, but woe be unto that man by whom the snares cometh. So we want to be careful that in our conduct, in our fellowship, in our instructions to one another, that we don't create snares or difficulties for our brethren. Because the Lord is fully aware, and we will suffer as well as the evil effect it may have on our brethren. In Luke 11, verse 35, we read, Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Or the thought is that it not become darkness. So it is possible, according to the Lord, for one to have the light, and then it would become darkness. So it's an individual matter. The Lord calls us as individuals, not as groups. And individually, we are responsible to Him as to whether we receive the full reward or not. And the Lord has arranged it so that we are directly responsible to Him. And He will either approve us or disapprove us. Either give us the full reward or give us less than the full reward. In Luke 12:15 we read, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, covetousness really is a desire to have. To have various things, and this desire, you know, a person that has no desire would lead a very aimless life. But to have the desire properly focused, have it focused on doing the Father's will, and to be careful that we don't set our affections on worldly things, worldly ways, worldly achievements, but rather to be sure that we keep our eye single upon our covenant that we've made to our Heavenly Father, and to endeavor by His grace to be as faithful as we possibly can. In Luke 17 and the 3rd verse, we read, Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And we want to keep in mind the admonition in the earlier text that what measure we meet, the Lord will meet to us. So we want to be careful in our dealing with the brethren, even though someone may trespass against us. And if it's a very serious matter, we might go to them and tell them that they have done so and so or said certain things that were not complimentary nor helpful. And if they repent, forgive not only in word, but forgive from the heart. We want to be careful that we don't hold grudges. You know, that's one of the problems in the world. When somebody offends them, they carry the grudge around, and sometimes for many years. It isn't to their benefit. It isn't to anyone's benefit. But this is a natural tendency. I've been offended, and I carry the chip on my shoulder. And we want to be of those who rise above this and not carry grudges. Forgive our brethren regardless of whether it's something serious or minor. In Romans 11, verses 20 and 21, we read, "Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee." And this is the lesson that where Paul speaks of Israel being God's favorite. They were the natural branches in this olive tree. And then he goes on to tell us in the other verses that because of unfaithfulness, the Lord broke off the natural branches, and the Gentiles were grafted in, taking the place of those who had been unfaithful. And we want to take heed, lest he also spare not us, or remove us as branches who have been grafted in, and to learn the lesson of humility and submission to the Lord's providences, and to continually bear in mind that he who called us knew our weaknesses. You know, one of the things we've learned in our personal lives is that when we first came to the Lord, we knew something about our weaknesses, but we've learned a lot more since. That the weaknesses show up at times that are very embarrassing. And we want to continue to keep under the natural tendencies that are not in harmony with our covenant with the Lord. We all have them. Each one has perhaps a different set of them. But each one has. When I think along this line, and I'm going to go back a few years, there was a brother that traveled amongst the brethren, Brother Muir. He was of Scotch birth, so he had a slight accent. So he would tell us about the human frailties. And that stuck with me because of the accent. He said we all had these frailties, and that we had to be careful that they did not become a stumbling block to us, but rather to recognize them and to endeavor to overcome them to the extent we could and ask the Lord's forgiveness for what we have said or done amiss. And this happens to us all during our Christian walk. We say some things and we say, I should have kept quiet. Or I should have said it differently. But once it's out, you can't take it back other than perhaps ask that the brethren forgive you for what you had said that could have been said differently, or maybe even better if it not been said at all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the 10th verse, we read, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So it's not do it some way, but rather to take heed how he buildeth thereupon, that this building will win the Father's final approval, or as we're told in this lesson, that there are some that build with gold, silver, and precious stones, and then there are others that would build with hay, wood, and stubble. And it's up to each one of us individually. The Lord has so arranged that regardless of our imperfections, our limitations, each one is responsible for their own building. We can be helped and encouraged by the brethren, but in the final sense, it's what I do in my building as to whether I will receive the full reward. And it's also true of each one of you. Each one is responsible to build to the best of their ability, using the proper materials or the proper thoughts. I think the gold and silver would represent divine truths, which would develop a correspondingly acceptable character. The wood, hay, and stubble would probably represent traditional errors, which of course would develop a corresponding unstable character. So each one must decide and endeavor by the Lord's grace to use the proper thoughts and to direct their lives accordingly. In 1 Corinthians 8:9 we read, "But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." Now here again is the thought of, you have liberty being in Christ, but be careful how you use it. Be careful because how it might affect your brethren. In the early church, they had a question as to whether it was proper to eat meat that was offered to idols. And those who were mature enough, they could eat the meat offered to idols. But it was a question of, be careful that you don't stumble others with this. Because not everybody agreed that eating meat offered to idols was acceptable. And so then it was a question of if it might adversely affect someone, then it's better to leave it alone rather than eat and it lead to the upsetting of our brethren. And I think that this is true in many ways. For instance, among some of the brethren that we've known, they would freely drink beer and whiskey. Even we've had occasion where we went to some of the brethren to their home and they offered it to us. And we said, no. Even if it's free and offered in all good faith, we don't indulge. But it can, we can probably stumble out some of our brethren by wearing expensive clothing, or by wearing flashy jewelry, or by having a very expensive car, or by having an unusually expensive home. You know, we if we're only thinking of self, there's nothing wrong with whatever house we live in, whatever car we can afford to drive in. But we have to be careful of the effect it has on other brethren. Those who look on and say, you know, why are they putting on a show? I can't afford it. There are others can. And look at what they're doing. It might be a stumbling block to our brethren. So we have to be careful not only think of, I can do it, I can afford it, the Lord has permitted me, but we must consider also the effect it may have on our brethren. We can either help them or we can harm them. We also read in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now this is another problem that can arise after a period of years. A brother or sister might say, well, I'll never be affected by anything adverse. I'm so well founded in the truth. Nothing. But I think that there's a danger there. Because I think in truth, in all honesty, we maintain our standing not because we're so well grounded in the truth that we can't be led astray. But I believe from experience and observation that we are being held in the truth by the grace of God. And anybody that begins to think that their own understanding, their own ability to resist everything that would in any way adversely affect them in their relationship with the Lord, is assuming too much, that we should be humble enough to realize that it's only by the grace of God that we receive the truth. It's only by the grace of God that we maintain it, and not because of any particular strength of character, or that we're so confident that we can resist everything, but rather to lean upon the Lord for strength and grace for every day. We must be careful that we don't think that we can be overtaken by an error. But to guard against and realize that we are merely dust, and without the Lord's grace, we can fail. In Galatians 5:15, we read a very strong admonition. It reads, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This is a very extreme position. It has the thought of doing things to injure, as a biting remark or a degrading remark of some kind or other. To devour would be any action or statement that was intended to destroy. And we certainly don't want to do that. We want to be among those that once the Lord draws them to himself, that we would accept the Lord's choice, and even though they might not always come up to our standard or what we would want them to be and how they would act, nevertheless we must be careful that we do not hinder them and prevent them from any way not making their calling and election sure. In Hebrews 2:1, we read, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We want to be sure that what we have received as a truth, we hold to the truth. Recently, we had occasion to visit with a brother and sister, and the brother with, too much confidence said, "You know, we have 6 Bible commentaries in our study. And I know we have some Bible student commentaries, but I don't know of any 6. So most of those commentaries, though I didn't ask, but I hope to ask him in the future, whether these were written by men who didn't understand the plan of the ages as it is shown on the chart. And if they use these Bible commentaries and check continually, it's likely that they might be misled, because whatever the commentators would say would not always support the proper understanding of the plan of God, since they don't understand it. So there are, and this has happened to others in the past. Going back a number of years, I don't even remember the brother's name, but he was very popular. He lived in, I think it was Mobile, Alabama, and he was very prominent. He was an elderly brother, and they used them at the general convention and so on. And then later on, I didn't see him on. So I asked one of the convention committee members, I said, "What happened to him? I thought he knew the truth well, he presented it well, and the brethren generally accepted him as being sound in the truth. I said, what happened?" And the brother said, "Well, you know, when he retired, he began reading all sorts of books. And then he became smarter, according to him, than he was previously, and he lost some of the truth. He lost some of it." So if someone who's in the truth many years and begins to allow themselves too much liberty as to what they read, there is a possibility that they might give too importance to what they read that would diminish their understanding and appreciation of the knowledge of the truth that we've received through that wise and faithful servant. In Hebrews 3 and verse 12, we read, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So since the apostle gave this to us as a warning, this must be a possibility that there might enter into us an evil heart. A heart, for some reason or other, is willing to swerve from that which we had learned, that which we'd received through the 6 volumes of scripture studies, the reprints, Tabernacle Shadows, and be drifting away from this. Or, as we read here, in departing from the living God and His word of truth. So we must be careful what we read and what effect what we read has upon us. In 2 Peter, first chapter, the 19th verse we read. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. I believe that the words here, word of prophecy, would be the divine revelation. And we want to be careful that we accept it wholeheartedly, with the whole heart. Among the brethren today, there are many who were raised in the truth, in truth homes. And it's their religion. And they know the plan, but they don't appreciate it as much as we would like to see in them. They don't make a full consecration. And we believe that even some of those who have made a consecration have consecrated to righteous living rather than to sacrifice. Because there is a difference. One can consecrate to righteous living, and others would consecrate to sacrifice. Now in Acts 20 and the 28th verse, this would apply more to the elders. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers, to feed the flock, the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. The admonition, I think, is correct here. Take heed therefore unto yourselves first. Make sure that you're holding to the truth as you have received it to the Lord from the message of that wise and faithful servant, and that you give the brethren that which you have learned yourself, that which has been a help to you in the narrow way, that which has built you up in the truth. So I believe that this was intentional. This is the way the Lord wants the elders to view this. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, number one, and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit had made you overseers. So it is a very serious responsibility, and I think that we should all the elders, should take it to heart and continually keep that in mind, that they have a very serious responsibility to the Lord, and to watch that we don't digress, that we don't permit ourselves to be led astray, and to harm the brethren. You know, along this line, I often think of what happened when Brother Russell died. I think all of us have some knowledge of it, that there was chaos in the truth movement. When Brother Russell died, some of the leading brethren with Rutherford decided to overturn Brother Russell's will, that they would not have a president of the organization anymore, but it would be led by a committee. And he listed the committee members in his will. But the brethren with Judge Rutherford changed that. And he became the second president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Now, why the brethren supported Judge Rutherford in doing this, I don't know. But I do know that it was the wrong thing. and the results show. And this wasn't done by amateurs. This was done by brethren who had been in the truth. This was done by brethren who were pilgrims. This was done by brethren who had prominent positions in the society. And why? I think we have to leave that to the Lord and His judgment. But it could happen. It happened there. And so we want to be careful how we take care of first, number one, and then our relationship to our brethren. In 1 Timothy 4:16 we read, "Take heed unto thyself." There again, the admonition, "Take heed unto thyself." That's the most important person for each of us. Be sure we are holding to the truth, endeavoring to carry out our covenant as fully as we can, and ask the Lord's forgiveness for our shortcomings. And then he goes on in this verse and he says, "And unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And I feel that this text, as the others, bring to our attention that we're responsible for number one. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. And if we do this, the result will be that thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we want to be among those that take the admonitions given to us by the apostles, the examples and admonition given to Israel, having received the word of God, received His favor and blessing, that we make proper use of it, and that we continue to live up to our covenant of sacrifice to the very best of our ability, that we might be among those that will hear the well done. And the Lord has, I often reflect on the Lord's calling me out of darkness into His light. And looking back, I say, I didn't have anything that merited it. I can't think of one thing that merited my being called out and have the truth revealed to me. And I don't think I would be belittling anyone if I say it probably applies to each one of us, that we don't have anything. We never had, and we don't have today, such qualities of character. You say, well, you know, who else would he pick but me? I don't think any of us could honestly say that. That the Lord chose the poor of this world, and that under His grace, if we properly accept His invitation to run for the prize of the high calling, that we humbly continue to show forth His praises in our words and thoughts and doings, that we not look for praise or honor from one another, but rather first look for our Heavenly Father's approval of us, and to hold to the truth that He's given us, and that we might seek to do His will. And if we watch, number one, diligently, faithfully, humbly, the Lord can bless our efforts among the brethren, and not only bless us, but perhaps even convey a blessing to others through us. So we want to be among those that really love the Lord, not in word, but in deed. Love the Lord not only in what we say, but that from the heart we want to do His will fully. And so we would admonish each one of us to be more faithful, more appreciative, and more determined to fulfill our covenant. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Scheffelbaum, for that very helpful, practical lesson for each of the Lord's people. Take heed. I'm sure there's plenty there for all of us here, and not only for the brethren directly, but also for the servants of the ecclesias as well. So we appreciate it, and thank you very much, Brother. Just before we conclude, we have been advised by one of the brethren that Sister Nathalie Simpkin, I believe of San Diego, had a stroke yesterday, and it has impaired the use of her leg. And so we're sharing with that, with the brethren with that, but also to remind the brethren. Yes, brother?
I spoke with her yesterday on the telephone with Nathalie. The stroke has left her face, and she has resumed physical activity again. It was only a temporary arrangement.
I see. Okay, thank you. But there is a reason for bringing this to the attention, especially, is that there is a card or a letter on the book table with her name addressed to it, so the brethren might especially remember her and her experience. As has been reported. And also, we want to remind the brethren that we will reconvene at our last discourse for the afternoon at 4:30.
Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast called us out of darkness and revealed to us Thy glorious character and Thy divine plan. And may it have the effect of drawing from us a continual thankfulness to Thee, that being unworthy, we've been called out, and Thou hast extended to us the privilege of running for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. May we by Thy grace endeavor to strive with greater appreciation and determination to be among those that are faithful. Forgive us our many shortcomings. Be with Thy Israel everywhere according to the need, especially those going through special trials and tests and temptations. We do pray Thy continued blessing upon the further sessions of the convention. Prepare our hearts for the lessons that will be given. We also pray that Thou be with us as we fellowship one with another, that we endeavor to be a help and encouragement to greater faithfulness and appreciation and humility. And so we commit our all to Thy further care in Jesus' name. Amen.